The Force Field is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, for IT service providers, it's The Force Field with Rick Savoia. And now, here is your host, Rick Savoia.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the unofficial podcast for IT service providers, The Force Field. I'm your host, Rick Savoia, and during the next half hour, we'll cover the news, views, reviews, and interviews for and about the IT industry and the Force Field community. Our call-in segment is open to all listeners Saturday nights from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Call 407-278-5698. That's 407-278-5698. Or you can call in via Skype at Savoia Computer if you'd like to be part of the show. Most entrepreneurs start their businesses doing most, if not all, of the work themselves. In the IT industry, that usually means we do it all. The administration, the marketing, the sales, the accounting, the purchasing, the invoicing, and, of course, the technical work. It's a big job just handling all of the management. To serve as the technician as well, that's something else. There are many areas we need to cover as techs in IT. Sometimes we can outsource it. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes a job requires more than just a tech. Sometimes we need to be a MacGyver tech. If you listen to The Force Field, you know that I have discussed the pros and cons of being a MacGyver tech in our IT businesses. Although I have sometimes talked about the advantages of specializing in a certain area instead of trying to be everything, there are times when all of us need to be that MacGyver tech. I myself was nicknamed MacGyver when I worked at WRBW-TV in Orlando in the mid-90s for finding ways to patch things together and make them work. I realized since then that no matter how much you want to specialize, there's always that situation where you do need to do it all yourself. MacGyver techs are not just techs. They're innovators, utilizing common knowledge and tools to perform difficult or seemingly impossible tasks, often under stressful or difficult situations. While the vast and ever-growing storehouse of human knowledge makes specialization almost a requirement, and general expertise a daunting prospect, there are situations where any tech will need to learn a little something new and outside their immediate area of expertise just to get the job done. Sometimes we need to be a MacGyver tech, or find one. If we can't find one, we need to be ready to become one. This week we're going to talk to an IT service provider who fits the definition of the term. We'll find out how he manages both the business and tech sides of his company and ask him what it means to be a real MacGyver tech. But first, let's take a look at what's going on elsewhere in the IT industry. AMD announced that it would accelerate its roadmap with an early release of its 6-core Opteron processor this June, and plans to ship a 16-core processor in 2011. AMD made the announcement in April at the AMD Opteron processor 6th anniversary event in Sunnydale, California. A 6-core Opteron processor, codenamed Istanbul, is set for release this June. According to AMD, the new processor increases performance by 30% over AMD Opteron quad-core processors currently available. The company said it plans to release the AMD Opteron 6000 MagnaCores processor in 2010. The MagnaCores will be designed for servers and will have 8 and 12 cores. The Interlagos processor is scheduled for debut in 2011 and will feature 12 and 16 cores. The Interlagos will be built on 32-nanometer technology. We're currently working on new processors, which we expect will deliver more than 35 times the performance of the original single-core AMD Opteron processor released in 2003, Patrick Patla, AMD Vice President and General Manager, Server Workstation Business, was quoted as saying in a press release. With our wide range of available power bands and performance capabilities, AMD is delivering full-featured maximum value at every price point today, and plans to continue to do so well into the future. AMD reported a first quarter loss of $416 million. If you're looking for ways to support more clients by spending less money, try supporting smarter with GoToAssist Express. The new remote support service brought to you by Citrix lets consultants and small businesses easily and affordably enjoy instant, simple, remote, one-to-one support to clients. You can service more clients more efficiently, more affordably, because you don't have to be there in person to access their computer. Try GoToAssist Express free right now for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. That's GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. As you all know, the Force Field podcast and web portal cover the business side of running a tech business. But the business side isn't all there is to running one. There's the tech side, too. In order to cover both sides of the IT industry, we are launching a new podcast this month called MacGyver Tech. As the Force Field discusses the business of tech, MacGyver Tech will discuss the tech side of the business. It isn't just another tech-related show. MacGyver Tech is about combining your technical knowledge and experience with insight and ingenuity to help you find solutions in difficult situations. MacGyver Tech launches May 2009 at www.macgyvertech.com. Give it a listen and let me know what you think. If you think Windows 7 will finally lure users away from XP and redeem Microsoft for Windows Vista, think again, says a new study. The study, released in April by Case Networks, reports that 84% of respondents have no plans to upgrade to Windows 7 in the next year. The new operating system is due out by the end of 2009. However, the study says a majority of companies will be slow to adopt or migrate to it, choosing either to move to Macs or Linux or stick with Windows XP. Of those who do plan to move to Windows 7, more than half said they were going to do so specifically to avoid Windows Vista. The study polled 1,142 IT professionals and found that while some respondents were receptive to the new operating system, many were reluctant to migrate over to it immediately for several reasons. 88% of those who were reluctant listed software compatibility as their primary concern. 42% said economic conditions were also a factor. The study also indicated that while many still plan to stick with XP for a while, users were aware that there were other options available, and many were considering a move to non-Microsoft operating systems. Although 99% of respondents were using Microsoft operating systems, 50% considered adopting Apple or Linux-based operating systems instead, a 7% jump from another study conducted in 2008. What does this mean for Microsoft? Windows is its mainstay. About 40% of its revenue comes from Windows licensing. After losing a 3-year battle to sell the masses and the enterprise on Vista, Windows 7 could make or break their business in the operating system marketplace. As limited in scope as this study may be, it is indicative of a mindset and a stigma among users about a post-XP Windows world. Windows XP is still popular, but it is nearing its end of life, and, while still spry, it is showing its age. Eventually, it will be time to upgrade to something. Windows 7 needs to be a hit, or Microsoft will have nothing for XP users to upgrade to. And they will inevitably migrate to something else. And that's the news in the Force Field. I am very particular about what goes in the Force Field, and I only promote products and services that I either use myself or would use if I needed them. This week I would like to introduce you to a new sponsor who I've been using myself for reliable web hosting to keep the Force Field online 24/7. GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's hosting plans are bigger and better than ever with 99% uptime, free 24/7 support, and no annual commitment. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. Here's the best part. As a listener of The Force Field, enter the code BLU101 when you check out and save an additional 10% on your web hosting order. You want reliable web hosting at a great price? Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply, so see site for details. That's GoDaddy.com. You're listening to The Force Field, and this is the part of the show I look forward to the most, as it is the opportunity to talk to my fellow professionals in the field. If you'd like to talk, you can call me at 407-CPU-JOY-8. That's 407-278-5698, or through Skype at Savoia Computer. If you don't have Skype, simply go to the Force Field Podcast Episodes page at theforcefield.net and click the Skype icon located on the right sidebar. The download is free, the call is free, and the show is free. And you can't beat free. So call in and dare to enter the Force Field. If you're in the IT business, you know there are times when you will find yourself in a situation that you have never dealt with before, one in which you need to call on all of your technical knowledge and experience to resolve quickly. Sometimes you can rely on other resources, such as associates, outsourced services, and the internet to help you. There are other times, however, when you're on your own. At times like these, it's not just knowledge and experience that save the day. It takes ingenuity as well. Parrish Reinl knows what it's like. Parrish owns and operates Pathfinder Networks, an IT company located in Niles, Michigan. As both a business owner and tech, he sometimes encounters situations that require him to use all of his experience and his wits to resolve. This week we're going to talk to Parrish, learn how he started his business, talk about his experiences as a tech who does it all, and find out what it takes to be a real MacGyver tech. And we're talking to Parrish. Parrish, welcome to the Force Field.
Hi, Rick.
How are you doing today, Parrish?
Oh, I'm pretty good today, actually.
No, that's great. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your business first.
What we do, I've been in IT myself for probably, been 15, 16 years professionally anyway. About 5 years ago, went full-time with my own business, and we opened a retail store first. About the same time, retail store and on-site service both. There's a business partner that runs the store. The store focuses on primarily like residential work. They come in and buy parts, and we work on residential PCs there. The on-site service is all commercial. Pretty much a small business. You know, we serve people that have, 30 or less PCs primarily on a LAN, like a small business client. And we service kind of the South Bend, Indiana area. We go a little bit north of that, up to Kalamazoo at times, and down to Warsaw. It's a pretty big area, but it's primarily focused on South Bend. That's pretty much what we do.
How's business right now?
It's good. I mean, we're down from last year. If I look at the books, we're down gross income-wise, not much, but a little bit from last year, but our profits are better, which is kind of odd. But so it's not bad. It's just not as good as it was a year ago. But it's not – definitely hasn't taken a hit like a lot of other people have, though.
So you're doing a lot of the business end, a lot of the administrative work, and you are also working on site as well, correct?
Right, exactly. Yep. What I market myself as for my clients is I'm their on-site IT guy when they can't afford to have their own full-time IT guy. That's kind of how I see it. I run their whole – I'll manage the whole IT department for them. You know, it's when they need it kind of thing. That way they don't have to have their own employees doing it.
How much time do you spend in the store yourself and how much on-site?
The store, it's actually getting less and less in the store. I get to where in a week, if I'm there 4 or 5 hours a week, that's pretty common. Used to be, 20 hours a week, but it's, more and more in the field. I'd say in the field, it's, a good 40, 50 hours a week out in the field. And that's mostly just driving on, it's road time, a lot of that. It's a pretty big area you got to drive.
How many hours a week do you think you spend doing a lot of the administrative work in your business?
That's where I'm fairly fortunate. My business partner does most of the book work. You know, I'll enter invoices and things, but he does most of the book work. So I'd say administrative side, you know, maybe 10 or 15 hours a week. It's not a lot, but it's usually on the weekends I'll do book work and, you know, go and check the books and invoices and things like that.
Now your partner also does some on-site work as well, right? And he works in the store?
He just works in the store only. His son works for us, and my godson works for us as well. My godson does on-site work, and then I'd like to get my business partner's son. He's working full-time for us. I'd like to get him to do on-site work, but he hasn't got to that point yet. So those two are in the store all the time, and then my godson and I are usually on the road.
Do you think that you'll be still doing a lot of the tech stuff for a few years to come, or do you think you'll find yourself doing more of the administrative work?
I'm hoping to get more on the administrative side. That's my goal, because to grow the business, we're at a point now where I can't really grow the business more than it is now because I'm, you know, doing the tech work myself. I can't do any more. You know, I'm fully booked for the most part with tech work, which limits how much I can grow the business because I can't focus on marketing and management, things like that. So I'm kind of at a crossroads. I've got to somehow break away from doing the day-to-day tech work and get to the actual running of the business. If that's going to happen, I don't know how or when exactly, because it's one of those deals where you've got to have enough work to hire a tech to do it. But then if you hire a tech, you've got to make sure you can keep them busy. You know, it's kind of a catch-22 sort of thing.
Yeah, it is a bit of a conundrum, isn't it? It is for a lot of techs and for those who are doing it all themselves. I mean, you have a few people to help you out, but a lot of guys are pretty much a one-man band. But
right.
You're still doing a little bit of everything. I guess that would classify you as a MacGyver tech, wouldn't it?
I would absolutely, yeah, definitely say so, because it's, you know, my definition of a MacGyver tech is just kind of like what you said, they can do it all. You know, it's more about not just going to do it all, but being able to do it quickly and think quickly on your feet. You know, you've got to be able to make a decision based on the facts you have available and make it work. I mean, it's kind of like MacGyver was. You got to be able to make, you know, a quick decision in the heat of the battle and come up with a good solution.
So are you a MacGyver tech?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that something that you wanted to be?
Well, that's a good question, actually. Well, if I look back at how I got into IT, actually, I started off being, you know, my early years being more of a mechanic. My parents owned a golf course that I grew up on, and I was the mechanic of the golf course. And I was, you know, as a kid, I was the type that took apart all my toys to find out how they work. So I was always wanting to know how things worked. And, you know, the time period I grew up in, computers weren't really out there. I mean, we had the Commodore 64, you know, and the things like that, but they were just toys at that point, really. So I started off, you know, I went to, instead of mechanics, I kind of led into electronics because I was always, you know, wanting to build circuits and make things work. So my college was for electrical engineering, and that's what I did for quite a few years. And it ended up being computers were more of a hobby. It was just something, you know, enjoyable to do. But slowly, as time went on, that it led to where the computers kind of took over. You know, I saw that, hey, this is a good career to have. You know, especially that's what the time that the local area network really took off. You know, when Ethernet arrived and Windows came on the scene, that was kind of exploded at that point. So, you know, coupled with my electronics experience, you know, in electronics, especially troubleshooting, you've got to kind of be able to figure things out. And that's kind of where it led into the, you know, the computer side of things. You know, it's more of a, you know, I guess almost like some people are born with it, I guess, in a way. You know, you've got that troubleshooting skill that's just ingrained. It's hard to teach it even to people because it's really, if you know it, you know it. If you don't, you really, it's hard to learn it.
Do you think that getting away from that sort of thing, doing more of the administrative work in the future, you think you might miss doing some of that tech work?
You know, I probably will, and that's been one thing I've been thinking about is how that would come into play. I still think I would probably do some tech work just as I, you know, kind of just to fill that need, I guess. But for example, when we get laptops in the store, you know, you've got to replace motherboards and inverters and screens. The techs in the store now, they don't do that. My business partner's son is trying to learn to do it, but my business partner himself came from a sheet metal background. He's more of a, you know, heavy-handed type person, and you can't do that with laptops. So for me, you know, they'll give me the laptop, so I bring it home and work on it over in the evening. I would still see myself doing that, just as a, you know, maybe not all the machines, but the need to still be there. I mean, I always like to tinker, so it's always going to be something I'm going to have to do. So I don't see giving it up completely, but I definitely see it being, you know, not as critical anyway.
Well, delegating some of this to other people, do you ever find yourself in a situation where sometimes you just want to just jump in and do it because you feel like, well, I just got to get this done, and you know, I can do it better, or I can do it faster or quicker, and do you find yourself having to hold yourself back from doing that?
Absolutely, there's just absolutely no doubt about it, and that's a big part of why I'm not in the store as much, because if I am in the store, it's hard for me to focus on the management side of things, because I'll see, you know, techs doing something, I'll watch what they're doing at the bench or even hear what they're talking about, and it's like, well, I know the answer to that. You know, I could just do it real quick and just get it done. So I've got to, you know, kind of force myself to completely ignore what's going on in the store. Otherwise, I just kind of take over, because I'm that type of person where it's, you know, I figure I want it done a certain way. I'm pretty, you know, critical about how things are done, you know, particular about it. And there's times where I just rather do it myself, you know, do it myself and get it done and do it right and know it's done right. And that's a big issue, really, with, you know, allowing my techs to do even, especially on-site. Working in the store, it's not such a big deal, because those, you know, they're good customers, but they're not high-dollar customers. I mean, they might spend $100, $200 here and there, whereas my on-site customers are, you know, thousands of dollars a month, and I can't afford to lose those. So, you know, it's hard for me to trust anyone to go into one of my good customers and for me to feel confident they're going to do the job right and also give the customer service that they need to give. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was a challenge for me to let go. Absolutely.
Yeah, it is kind of tough to let go sometimes when you're doing it, you know, yourself for so long, and you're and you're seeing other people do it. At least for me, I see other people do it, and sometimes I just want to say, oh, wait a minute, you know, that's not how to do it. You know, just do it this
right
way. You really have to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you really have to sort of just step back and let them do it.
Right.
Part of being a MacGyver tech, of course, is being able to work your way out of certain situations. You know, mm-hmm. being able to find solutions to problems that you might encounter that are just not everyday situations or something unusual or something new. Do you find your experiences as a tech overall have helped you in certain situations like that to find new and innovative ways to do something?
Without a doubt. That's where, you know, and like you said, that's, you know, part of being a tech, and it's, you're going to run across situations where you don't see it every day, and you've got to come up with a solution. As an example, I had one of my clients, you know, this is a few months ago now, they've got a small business server that we actually built for them. One of the RAID became corrupted. It's a mirrored drive, so there was one drive still good on it. This was it's a tax accountant, so it was during tax season, so it was a real sticky issue.
Critical time,
exactly. And what had happened was, when we rebuilt the RAID, it mirrored the wrong drive. There was two drives, and one drive had not really failed, but disconnected from the RAID, so it had old data on it. And when it rebuilt the array, it came back with the drive that was the old drive.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, there was like a day of, you know, data that was lost. So I had to come up with a solution to get that, you know, working right. And there was, you know, quite a few workarounds, you know, some registry edits, quite a bit of things that I did to get it back, but it was able to get it back, you know, to where it was current data, fortunately. But that's where the difference between, you know, a typical tech, it's hard for me to describe what would be a typical tech, but someone that's been trained to do this, mm-hmm. you know, they might give up. They say, well, that's it. You know, it's back up running, but you got to re-enter all your data. We're done. You know, they would just kind of walk away from it. Whereas a MacGyver tech is going to say, hey, wait a minute, I remember working on this one box before, you know, I did this, I did this. And you kind of put all your little pieces together that you have remembered doing and come up with a solution on the spot that works for the customer. And you don't give up. I mean, MacGyver tech just doesn't give up. They don't stop until it's done.
Yeah, I think that's a great definition of a MacGyver tech, a true MacGyver tech.
Right.
Well, Parrish, thanks a lot for sharing that with us on the Force Field today.
Not a problem. I appreciate it, Rick.
Yeah, no problem. If anybody wants to check out what you're doing, your business, what's your website?
It's www.pathfindernetworks.com.
Well, great, Parrish. Appreciate your time on the Force Field today, and you have a great day.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Rick. You too.
Sure. Take care.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. Care. Thanks for your work. Bye.
Well, folks, our time is up. I would like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you would like to comment on the program, you can email me at rick@theforcefield.net or visit our website at www.theforcefield.net. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not represent The Force Field, Savoia Computer, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. Our announcer is Felix DeCat. The show is produced and distributed by Savoia Computer. For The Force Field, I'm Rick Savoia. May The Force Field be with you.